Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated. Career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
President Obama has sent his 2012 budget request to Congress. Follow all of the twists and turns in the budget process at federalnewsradio.com, search term budget.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ann Hanley. Ann is the Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs and co-author of a very good book, Content Rules. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the book.
You're welcome.
Thank Wiley for the book. They sent me one. It's great. It really is good. But let's start with who is Ann Hanley? Where do you come from? How did you get to be a chief content officer?
Sure. So, I am a former journalist. I started my career working for, in journalism as a freelancer for the Boston Globe and then working for a business newspaper here in Boston where I live. And from there, with the advent of the internet, I was the co-founder of a site called ClickZ.com. Mm.
I remember ClickZ.
Do you? Yeah.
I actually remember some of your articles.
Yeah, it was kind of one of the first sources of online marketing information for businesses.
It had great emails.
Yeah, kind of how we built our business, and was through email, which is kind of a radical concept. As amusing as that sounds, 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember the resistance to corporate email.
Yeah, so, I know exactly. It was just kind of a whole different world. So from there, I sold the company in 2000, took a couple years off, and landed at Marketing Profs, where I am now in 2002, and I've been here ever since.
Okay. Now, I've been following Marketing Profs for several years, but a lot of people in the government market do not know what it is. So take a couple of minutes and give us the overview.
Sure. So Marketing Profs is essentially an online resource for marketers. So whether you're a corporate marketer, whether you're in B2C or B2B or B2G like your audience is, we're really meant to be kind of a platform for marketers to kind of exchange information as well as to learn about, kind of how to do their jobs better. And so to meet that goal, we have webinars, we've got newsletters, we've got a forum, we've got live events, we've got virtual events, kind of all kinds of ways that people can kind of learn about, how to do marketing. So we tend to be kind of a marketer's, sort of secret weapon, when you want to look good to your boss, those are the people who are on our list who are coming here to solve a problem or to figure out, how do I do this? How do I do social media? How do I, create an email list that's really going to deliver that kind of stuff?
Okay. Now, is your major platform the webinars, or is that just really part of the mix?
No, it's just part of the mix. We've got both free memberships and paid members. So paid members have access to the majority of our webinars. We do have some free webinars. But we are kind of one of the first companies to come out with a training program, kind of an online training program based around webinars. We've been in the webinars business since about 2006, which is a really long time considering how very different the world was back then.
Right.
In terms of the online space anyway. So webinars are part of it, but, it's really a platform that, where we're educating marketers across, many different platforms in many different ways, in part because, people learn differently. They like to get their information differently. So That's kind of how we deliver it.
Yeah, and I've tapped into a few of your webinars. You gave me a complimentary membership when I did a webinar for you guys.
Right.
The coolest thing about doing a webinar for you guys was a learning process on my side, because I had assumed up until that point that you sat at a computer, you talked, and then you canned it, and then you know it was done.
Mm-hmm.
But for and it was Ann and a couple other of your folks, they walked me through this process of editing myself, and boy, the end product was. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Yeah, I like to hear that. Yeah, we do hear that a lot. I mean, it's a lot easier these days to do a webinar than when we first started, but we sort of think of ourselves as kind of, kind of cutting edge in the sense that we're always trying to improve the product. And so we take it really seriously, which, we kind of have to, because we're selling that content, some of it. So we want it to kind of be a cut above.
Right, and the editing process, I've talked to Shelley since, who's no longer with you guys, but she's going to help me edit my own. So,
awesome.
Shelley's
great.
Yeah, she's very cool. But the webinar platform is extraordinary. I do a column at Washington Technology. I write for their online site. But last month I did kind of a teaser for this interview. Content is king, and just cut the BS. But I referenced a company in the article, Carahsoft, and I just blogged about them again just this past week. In 7 years, they've grown to $840 million, all organic growth, largely by providing excellent content before, during, and after the sale to key audiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty radical growth in any market.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So your role at Marketing Profs is Chief Content Officer. Explain that to me.
So, yeah, I get that a lot. It's kind of funny. What does a chief content officer do? Essentially that means that I'm kind of like the lead editor. Like, if you think of us as kind of an online expression of, say, a magazine or a sort of a media company. So if this was a print publication, I might have a title like executive editor or, chief editor or something like that. But essentially chief content officer means that I kind of head up all the content. So anything that we're producing or publishing or sort of putting out there in whatever format we're putting it out there in, be it webinar or newsletter or whatever, it all kind of falls under me.
Okay. And it doesn't really matter what form, right? So
it doesn't. Right. Correct.
So did you have to approve me when they called and said, do you want to do the LinkedIn thing? Because I didn't do a B2G thing for you guys. I did LinkedIn.
That's right. I know you did. Kind of. Although, the people who work for me are awesome, and they're empowered to kind of find the best people out there, and they do a tremendous job of it. So I don't necessarily get involved in picking every single webinar, but I do refer people all the time as, like, this person would be great. I met him at a conference or something like that. So in your case, we kind of knew each other before that, and
yeah.
I think I actually did forward you along, so I'm guessing you came from me. But, they do a great job of kind of, finding awesome people, too. So
We share some friends.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Some good friends. All right, so your content officer, Marketing Profs, is really rocking along.
Yeah.
You've got thousands of members.
Right.
And I get probably a half a dozen emails a week or more, just the announcements of stuff coming down the pike. And sometimes it's near term, sometimes it's a couple of weeks out, which in government terms is near term.
Mm-hmm.
But so how many, on a daily basis, how many events do you guys put on?
I thought you were going to ask me, on a daily basis, how much email do you send? And I was going to go, I don't know. How vague can I be? A lot. So let's see, how many events do we do? We do one kind of online, one or two, depending on the week, online learning events or webinars a week.
Mm-hmm.
Three times a year we have live events. We actually have, we meet people face-to-face, which is, really amazing for me anyway, personally, because I love talking to our members face-to-face, because so often I'm just talking to them through social channels or email. And then we also do something called Marketing Profs University, which is something that it's kind of a training program, essentially, for marketers, for the most part, around specific subjects. So we had one in December talking about content marketing. We have one coming up in April that's about social media, so we call them Social Media Fast Track, which is essentially a social media training course. So that's kind of in a nutshell the number of events that we have.
Okay. Now, the Marketing Profs University, is that face-to-face or virtual?
That's a virtual. It's a virtual kind of environment. It's very similar to like the way that you did the webinar with us. Only we sort of group them around, you know, a larger topic, and it becomes more of a course. That at the end of which, you know, you sort of feel very steeped and grounded in a particular subject. So, you know, like I said, that may have been content marketing if you took the course in December. In April, we have one coming up on social media. So if you are sort of starting out and feeling like I don't know how to do social media, as well as, you know, if you want to try to perfect the program that you already have in place, you may take that social media marketing fast track course. So they're virtual. They take place over the course of, say, 2 weeks. There's usually the way we structure them is there's a couple of classes every day, or sort of every other day. If you miss any of them, they're all available on demand, and you can review anything at any time. There's course handouts. There's an environment where you can kind of chat with other members of the course in a private Facebook group. So it's more of a kind of online learning environment versus just a straight webinar, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Cool.
Yeah.
Hold on. My guest today is Ann Hanley, Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs, and she's co-author of Content Rules. When we come back, we're going to dip into Content Rules. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai is expected to announce tomorrow which areas of the country will be the first to transition from U.S. control to Afghan control. The U.S. has maintained the withdrawal of U.S. troops in Afghanistan will begin in July. The transition time frame for each location is not certain. The House of Representatives just last week rejected by a large margin a resolution calling for the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan by the end of the year. I'm J.J. Green.
When you fly over the North Pole, do you ever think about how remote you are? Airink does, and that's why they have it covered. They're the only company in the world that provides high-frequency data links so that pilots can always communicate with someone on the ground. Airink ensures you're never alone at 35,000 feet. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to Fed Talk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO.
This week, host Deborah Roth will be joined by career coach Catherine Troutman of The Resume Place to discuss the current federal hiring outlook and how to land a federal job.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday mornings at 10, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Federal News Radio. This week, my special guest will be John Walcott, Chief Content Officer and Editor-in-Chief of Smart Brief. That's Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday, brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
As gas prices rise, more focus will shift toward the administration's ambitious clean energy goals. Join FCA Bethesda and FCA Energy on May 4th at the Bethesda North Marriott for the second Energy and the Environment IT Day, featuring EPA, DOE, GSA, NRC, NOAA, and Interior to discuss energy efficiency, agency cooperation, and IT spending priorities. Register at FCABethesda.com/EEITday. Special thanks to premier sponsors Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and Booz Allen Hamilton, and platinum sponsors HP and Centurion Research Solutions.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ann Hanley. Ann is the Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs and co-author with C.C. Chapman of Content Rules. An excellent, excellent book. If you need to develop content, this is a wonderful resource. I want to touch bases on one thing on Marketing Profs University real quick before we get to the book. I've seen a couple of companies providing virtual events, and they're doing like day-long webinars. It's mm-hmm. like 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, my gosh, how long are people going to sit at their computers listening to somebody who I know is not the most exciting speaker? So I like the way that you map those out, a couple a day, and they're all archived, they're all retrievable, play on demand kind of thing. Quick point about your three live events. Where do you hold them?
They vary. We have a B2B event coming up in June in Boston. Historically, this is like the third or fourth year, I think, that we've done it in Boston, and it's kind of historically been the home of our B2B event. We also do another event that's both B2B and B2C and B2G, just with a nod to your audience.
Well, thank you.
And that takes place this past February. It took place in Austin. We're not sure. We're scouting locations now for where we're going to have it next year. That one tends to be more of a nomad. It kind of roams around a little bit. Okay. We haven't quite settled on a home for it. And then we also have an event called Social Tech, which is a little bit different. It's a one-day event that that brings together high-tech companies who want to learn about social media.
Okay, very cool.
And that takes place, actually, it took place in San Jose. I think we're going to move that to Seattle, although we're sort of in negotiations for that now. So they take place at various points throughout the year. The B2B event is in the summer. The Marketing Press Forum, which is the one for all kinds of marketers across the board, that was in February. It'll probably take place next February somewhere else. And then we usually have Social Tech in the fall.
Well, live venues.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the hotels negotiate now because they're hurting. And, oh, by the way, when you hear this, it'll be on Monday, whatever Monday is. We're recording on Friday. Ann is going to be in Baltimore on the 23rd, right?
Yes, that's correct, yep.
Yeah, and how do people find that?
How do they find that? You can go to my Twitter feed, because I've been talking about it a lot on there, or you could go to the Bridgeline Digital homepage, which is bridgelinedigital.com, and I think it's right at the top of their homepage.
Bridgelinedigital.com.
Right, exactly. And there's a link there for something called a content tour, which is kind of what Bridgeline is sponsoring, this 10-city tour throughout the U.S. And this week we're in Chicago, or next week, actually, when this is airing, we're in Chicago on Tuesday and Baltimore on Wednesday.
Cool.
Which I'm excited about because my son lives in Baltimore, so I get to see him.
There you go. Where's is he going to school?
Yeah, he's a freshman at Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore.
Oh, Micah.
Baltimore.
Yeah, sure.
He's at Micah, so
Micah's a great school.
Yeah, he's thrilled. He loves it. And
artists do.
Yeah, he feels like he's exactly where he wants to be and where he wanted to be his whole high school career, I think. So he's a very happy guy.
Cool. All right. So let's make our listeners happy and talk about a couple of the tools for creating and disseminating content.
Sure.
When blogs first came out, Debbie Weil, do you know Debbie?
I do, yeah. She used to write for me at ClickZ and
exactly.
Dog's age ago.
Yeah, a while back.
Yeah.
And back then, she was the email diva
here
in D.C.
Email,
but
right.
as soon as blogs started getting hot, she called and said, you really got to do this. And I looked at them, and I looked at a lot of blogs, and I think, you know, this proves the theory that if you give enough monkeys enough typewriters, you know, sooner or later you create a sentence. But it's evolved, But tell me how people can use it in a B2B frame.
Right. So, I think you're absolutely right. You know, blogs have evolved. You know, I kind of sat on the sidelines for a long time thinking that it was nothing more than kind of a diary format, you know, that people were sitting in their basements kind of churning out all kinds of, personal posts. And that's what it was kind of for a long time. You know, it was something that you either had, people ranting or oversharing or,
oversharing this kind.
Yeah, using it more for, sort of personal expression than anything else. But, blogs have definitely evolved beyond that. And I think, especially in the B2B space where you see companies now really using them as kind of a hub of their communication center, anytime that they have any news to share or anytime that they are, looking to create content, which is kind of what the book is all about, a blog is just kind of an obvious and kind of central repository. We kind of call it in the book, it's kind of the hub of your online content presence. And I really believe that. And I think it's a great opportunity for B2B companies to sort of think about, the way that they use their blogs.
Okay. Before we go any further, a lot of companies struggle with, I sell really mundane stuff. I really mm-hmm. don't see how content plays. Do you have any, I'm looking at the book right now, looking at the contest. Do you have any stories that illustrate like something mundane where content really did perk it up?
Yeah. I mean, I love stories like that. I love mundane products and seeing ways that people kind of infuse them with some life and energy. Let me just say right up front that I really do believe that writing content about your, whatever it is that you're in the business of is really a great way to kind of humanize your product or services, in part because, you can tell the stories of your customers. You can talk about how your product lives in the world, kind of how it helps people and kind of how it shoulders their burdens or eases their pains or whatever. And one of the companies that produces something incredibly boring that has an amazing blogging program is a company in Clinton, New York called Indium. And what they do is they sell solder paste. I mean, there's pretty much not a more boring thing out there, right? I mean, how do you write about solder paste? But these guys do an incredible job of kind of talking about, kind of what their solder paste is doing, the products that it's part of. And I love the way that they're really bringing that topic to life. And as a result, it's really paid off for the company. They show up really high up in search terms and search results because they're talking about this stuff, so they've got relevant, fresh content about it. But they've also kind of, made their people who work at their company, they've made them kind of little rock stars, in their industry. And Rick Short, who's their VP of marketing, talked about this in the book, about how, they go to events now and people know who they are. So, in the solder paste world, that's something, right? So it's kind of the sort of product that's hard to differentiate, but, they're doing a great job of it.
Now, solder paste, when I'm doing plumbing, people actually don't think I actually do manual things. I have minor capabilities, but when I lived alone, I did a lot of my own plumbing. So the solder paste, when I'm putting the solder on, this is the stuff I slather on it before I apply the heat or during
exactly.
the heat. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So now I have to go back to my old toolbox and see if I use the Indian product.
Yeah, exactly. They really use it. They're really talking about it at the B2B level too, and its applications in, like, you know, aerodynamics and the airline industry, for example, or the way that that it's used in you know, building computers and hardware and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, my knowledge stops there. So, you know, you can't ask me the specifics of where this solder paste is applied. But you know,
believe me, I just exhausted my knowledge.
Yeah,
set
I know,
there too.
I know. But all that to say, you know, I mean, they're talking about kind of, you know, solder paste in a way that kind of makes it, you know, relevant and lively. So it's not just this, like, boring thing that I don't know what that is. You know, it's you know, if people who are looking for a supplier, I mean, they rank and they're very. Their product is very lively compared to, you know, sort of other companies out there.
Cool. My guest today is Ann Hanley, Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs and co-author of Content Rules. When we come back, we're going to talk about webinars, ebooks, white papers, and more. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Profile America, Monday, March 21st. While most people are happy to see spring again, for many there's a familiar chore coming up soon, mowing the lawn. That means first digging through the shed or the garage, moving aside the snow shovels and other winter equipment to find the mower, and then see if it will start. It's a good idea to make sure your trusty mower is in good shape for the coming season, so it will run well, burn less gas, and cut the grass more efficiently. There are more than 95 million single-family homes in the U.S., the largest proportion, 26%, has less than 1/8 of an acre to maintain, while 20% has 1 to 5 acres to care for. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future. Tune in to The Federal Drive every weekday morning from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hear news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Tom and Amy will give you the information you need to help explain and navigate your world. Listen on the radio at Federal News Radio 1500 AM, morning 6 to 10, or go to federalnewsradio.com and click Listen Live. The Federal Drive is sponsored by Symantec Confidence in a Connected World.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau. The Fashion Center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
What is the U.S. Department of the Treasury doing to implement financial reforms? How is it promoting management and organizational excellence? How is Treasury leveraging technology and innovation to be more efficient and effective? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Dan Tangerlini, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Management and Chief Financial Officer. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
It's not always easy to know when a person is agitated or excited. Sometimes you may not even know when you are. So a new wearable device has been engineered to detect stress, bad or good. The sensor looks like a wristwatch but records movement, temperature, and small changes in electric currents on your skin triggered by emotion. Rosalind Picard of MIT's Media Lab is the lead inventor.
It changes with things that are changing in your brain, and you wouldn't think that information would show up on your wrist, but some of it does.
The device can help you and others understand what stresses and relaxes you. For example, people may have doubts when you say walking back and forth helps calm you down.
But when they see the signal plummet when you pace, they say, wow, that pacing looks like it's helping you. I'm not going to tell you to stop pacing anymore.
Currently, the sensor is mainly used for various research projects, but it could be available to the general public in a year. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ann Hanley, who is the Chief Content Officer. That's a cool title. Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs and co-author of an absolutely great book, Content Rules, from my friends at Wiley, a great place to publish. We were talking about webinars early. Let's talk about them again right now.
Sure.
You got, literally, you can use it for anything.
You can.
Take it away. Like what?
Like what?
Sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, you can use them for lots of things. You can use them for, as a way to kind of educate your audience, sort of help them, solve problems. You can use them to definitely generate leads for your business. If you're a B2B company, a lot of B2B companies use them that way. They can be really a pretty solid part of your marketing program.
Right. In the beginning of the book, I should have brought this up earlier, but I'll bring it up now.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a study from IDG from the end of 2008 that basically said that customers weren't getting enough information in the buying process.
Mm-hmm.
So in the government market, I mean, I know you're familiar with a lot of Cisco's work, but have you ever looked at their library of webinars?
I haven't, no.
Man, it goes on for days.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pages and pages and pages of choices that are there. And the company that I referenced earlier that I wrote about last month at WashTech and last week in my blog, Carisoft, if you go to their website, they have a tremendous mix of webinars and live events where they are educating buyers on very, very specific technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
That's great.
What's your favorite webinar story? Not a marketing profs.
No, I was just going to say that. I think there's a reason for that, right? Because I don't know that company specifically, but webinars can be really sort of engaging and dynamic, right? And I think especially in the B2B world, they can help your products feel more kind of tangibly alive than just the written word, just in text, like a white paper or a case study or something like that, because there's so many other components to it. I mean, you can hear the speakers, so there's that audio component. You can sort of, watch. It's like being in a classroom environment, but, without the hassle of travel and with, especially in the B2B environment too, it's a little bit less intimidating than, say, going to like a live demo or something like that. You can sort of lurk a little bit more. So I think that's in part why, they're so prevalent in the B2B space in particular.
Well, and you don't have to walk by the high-pressure sales guy when you're leaving.
Right, exactly. So, you can sort of show up there and you can sort of get a sense for what this company is all about, but you don't necessarily have to you don't have to reveal yourself, I guess, too much. So it's got a little bit more anonymity to it.
Okay. Do you have any favorite webinar stories?
favorite webinar stories? You know, most of the ones that I participate in are really in the marketing realm.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I like the marketing realm.
Yeah, but actually, so you mentioned our friend Shelley Ryan earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, she tells a great story about a tankless water heater company, and their market is basically commercial, you know, builders, so commercial building owners who might be thinking about installing, you know, a tankless water heater. So, you know, they do a webinar talking about, you know, the tankless water heater versus the tanked water heater. I don't even know what you call their alternative. But, you know, that's a great example of something, again, that's kind of this, you know, weird product that you wouldn't necessarily, you know, associate with having a content marketing strategy, but they do.
Well, yeah, because it takes up a lot less room, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
According to construction professionals, I watched an HGTV thing about this not long ago.
So you know more than I do about this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's energy efficient.
Right.
It saves space. You know, there's for homes where space is an issue, and that's most homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. So, wow.
Right. So if I were doing, you know, their content strategy for like a tankless water heater company, you know, what I might do is like, let's bring in an energy expert, or let's bring in kind of like you know, a person who can talk about, you know, space efficiency or something like that. And you know, let's talk about, you know, kind of how we might, you know, what else we might do. So it wouldn't be necessarily just about the tankless water heater itself, but it may be sort of different approaches you can take to energy efficiency if you're a building owner, for example. And maybe, you know, tankless water heaters could be one of those things, but it's more the putting the content before the sell,
mm-hmm.
which is really an important point, especially, you know, with any marketing, I think, but especially when it comes to content marketing.
Optimum length for webinars?
You know, it really varies. Marketing Pros does 90-minute webinars. I think the sort of the default is usually an hour. That's usually what I do, like when I'm doing them for other clients, with sort of, you know, 30 to 40 minutes of presentation and then 15 of Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
But I did one yesterday with Compendium, an Indianapolis company who has this really great kind of blogging/email platform. And you know, that one I loved because it was almost solely Q&A. It was just a conversation with me and CC and with Chris Baggett, who's the CEO of Compendium. And that was awesome because it with the audience kind of chiming in, I should say, so we were also answering their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really engaging. It was really fun. And it was just kind of a, they did have slides, but they more sort of, you know, guided the conversation than dictated it. And it was, you know, a great approach.
How long?
How long was that one? That was an hour.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's my gut, 45 minutes to 90 minutes tops. I don't know if people are really geared yet to sit at their computer longer to absorb information.
Yeah, it kind of depends what your goals are, right? I mean, Marketing Pros does 90 minutes because ours are very, I mean, you know this, Mark. It's mm-hmm. like they're very how-to. We're very prescriptive. We really want to give people a lot of meat. You know, the Compendium webinar that I did yesterday, you know, an hour was sort of optimal for just, you know, having a conversation. That's something
right.
that people can sort of sit there during their lunch hour and, you know, brown bag it. But, you know, I mean, I think that if it had gone for 90 minutes, that would have felt way too long to me. But, you know, that said, we also do sort of a version of webinars, I guess, at Marketing Pros, and we call them Take 10s, and they're 10 minutes. They're sort of snack-sized webinars, we call them. And you can kind of, you know, show up and just kind of, these are all recorded, by the way, none of them are live. But you can sort of, you know, you can snack on them. And so I don't think there's any hard and fast rule. It's just a matter of, you know, sort of what the goal is.
What the goal is and maybe what the audience response is going to be, because I, you know, I really enjoyed the Q&A at mine.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I know. Somebody described the Q&A to me in a webinar the other day as an after party. And I kind of love that because, you know, the after party is always where the fun stuff happens, right, at any event. And I like that notion of a Q&A as an after party, a little bit more, you know, sort of loose. People really get their stuff answered. It's very personal. It's very specific. So I decided to steal that.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like the networking that occurs at a live event when the event's over.
Right.
You know, if there's any sort of cohesiveness to the crowd,
mm-hmm.
they're going to stick around for a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, at Marketing Pros, we do find that people stick around to the end, and that's not always the case. And I always find that puzzling when people kind of drop off, because I think the Q&A, like, you know, it's really, like you say, I mean, that's... it can be a very engaging piece of it.
Yep. My guest today is Ann Hanley, Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs, and you can find that at marketingprofs.com. It is .com, right?
Yes, it is.
Good. And she is co-author of Content Rules with CC Chapman. When we come back, we're going to touch on ebooks, white papers, and some cool things about frequently asked questions. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Virtualization Expert is brought to you by VMware and Carahsoft.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. In a recent study, federal IT leaders said telework and delivering desktop computing resources are the top reasons for using cloud computing. There is no question, telework is a priority, and VMware customers know how easy it can be with virtualization. With VMware, agency standard PCs can be quickly provisioned, deployed, and managed from the data center. Personnel can securely access familiar resources through government-furnished equipment or their own PCs. Our customers have saved up to 45% on desktop cost, increased their employee satisfaction, and improved continuity of operations. If your agency wants to deliver desktop computing as a service, you'll want to see how easily you can do it with VMware.
VMware desktop virtualization solutions are helping federal agencies deliver desktop capabilities to personnel for telework and continuity of operations. To learn more, visit thevirtualizationexpert.com.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated. Career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Defense and Energy Departments are partnering to launch new projects they say will enable the military to store and use renewable energy on its hundreds of bases around the world, as well as on board Navy ships and in the backpacks of forward-deployed Marines. Navy Secretary Ray Mabus says storing that power for use when and where it's needed remains a challenge. The two departments plan to fund $50 million worth of new research on new hybrid energy storage technologies.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Please join Jim Fleisig March 29th at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month's program will discuss the issues of telework and continuity of operation planning. The panel includes government leaders from GSA, DISA, and the State Department. Don't miss The Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, March 29th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by LifeSize and Riverbed Technology.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
For 11 years, government leaders have gathered to explore the latest mandates and best practices at the Government Performance Summit. Today, with a major revision to the Government Performance and Results Act, there is an unparalleled opportunity to integrate analytics into better decision-making for the entire nation. Join hosts the Performance Institute, FMA, AGA, and GovEvents April 4th through the 6th for the 11th Annual Government Performance Summit. Space is limited, so register today at governmentperformance.org.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ann Hanley, Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs, and she is co-author of Content Rules. You can find Content Rules probably in all bookstores and any virtual bookstore you want to go to. So, Ann, let's touch briefly on ebooks and white papers. You got a chapter in here that talks of what's the difference between them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, take it away.
So, what's the difference between an ebook and a white paper? There isn't a lot of difference. A lot of it just kind of comes down to style, I think, and tone. A white paper tends to be a little bit more buttoned up, at least in the traditional sense, how B2B companies use them and refer to them and know them. Sometimes they call them research reports or, you know, research summaries or technical briefs. And then ebooks, you know, tend to be a little more loose, a little more playful, I guess. And sometimes they are shorter than a typical white paper. And they often have, you know, sort of graphical elements or sort of a theme approach that white papers don't always have. But, you know, aside from that, I mean, you know, they're very similar. I mean, you know, ways that they're similar is that they are both kind of subject-specific. They typically have, you know, sort of one major theme or one major issue that they're sort of talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, you know, the ebook tends to be a little more themed with a little bit more, you know, sort of sexiness to it, I guess, than a white paper.
Yeah, and there's a little more layout and design that goes mm-hmm. with it, if done well.
Right. My friend Jonathan Kranz, who lives here in Boston where I live, he talks about how white papers are kind of like the guy in the gray flannel suit, you know, who you meet at an industry event, and he's kind of, you know, the established authority in any particular subject, right? And he tends to be kind of formal. But the ebook, you know, is more like the colleague at the Hawaiian shirt that, you know, you meet in the bar. So, you know, both can be great sources of information, but it's just that one's a little more buttoned up than the other.
Yeah, one might be more fun to extract information from.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, chapter 15, you go from dumpy to sexy, a FAQ makeover.
Right.
You know, facts have been around since websites.
Right.
So what do you mean sexy makeover here?
So a lot of companies think about their frequently asked questions or their FAQ page is kind of in a very sort of straightforward manner. And really what we talk about in Content Rules is that your FAQ page is kind of underappreciated and undervalued. You know, people kind of underuse them, I think. They can be a really great way to sort of, you know, communicate your brand value to would-be buyers and in a more engaging way. So we're just asking people or companies to think a little bit more carefully about what they put on their FAQ page and kind of how they're presenting information there. It's hard to find great examples of it. We did manage to find a couple, but in general, I think, you know, it's a big missed opportunity when you think about content.
You're right. It's kind of, go back to the mundane thing. You know, mm-hmm. it is mundane, but if you can perk it up a bit, why not? Let's move on to podcasting. Podcasting, I often think of as audio white papers.
Hmm. Yeah, so, that's interesting.
Because they're usually one topic.
Mm-hmm.
What you want is the Hawaiian shirt guy, though, on your podcast. You don't want the flannel suit guy.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, unlike a white paper or I guess an ebook, you know, sometimes depending on the format, you know, like you would tend to have a guest and you know, interview somebody and get a sense, a little bit more of a sense of kind of who somebody is, has a little bit more color, I think.
Yeah, and give me an optimal length or how short, how long, what's good for these?
Yeah, that really varies. I mean, we talk about in the book how some podcasts you know, none of them I listen to, by the way. But some podcasts are like an hour long, so it's like sitting at a computer, or even if you can access it on iTunes or something like that. I mean, listening to it for an hour feels like a really long time to me, which, you know, to me is different than a radio program that, you know, you may be listening to in your car or something like that. But I don't know, just an hour podcast is kind of the way they started out. Since then, a lot of them have gotten, you know, much, much shorter. I did one the other day that was 7 minutes from the top to the end. Again, kind of more of a snack size podcast. So, I mean, I think it just depends on, you know, sort of your frequency, kind of how much time you need. For me, optimal would be like 30 minutes, but, you know, that's just me, you know, because I sort of would rather listen to something shorter than longer.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to think 15 minutes for single topic, single speaker could be, I mean, you can convey your point, certainly.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Right. Mitch Joel, who is up in Canada, he runs a company called Twist Image, and he's the author of a book called The Six Pixels of Separation.
Oh, yeah.
CC and I did a podcast with him, and that was 30 minutes, but it was really, really great conversation. At the end of 30 minutes, I was like, wow, already? 30 minutes is over? So, you know, I think when you listen to, you know it, right? It's like when you're even participating in that, and it feels like this is really engaging and this is a lot of fun, and we were just clicking, and you know, it was a great conversation. That one, I was thrilled that it went to 30 minutes. I could have easily done an hour on that one, but I think, you know, Mitch is somebody who has really great interview skills, and you know, he's clearly passionate about podcasting. He's had a long time podcast program. So, you know, that's somebody who I think can handle it, but I don't think, you know, everybody can. I agree with you. I think, you know, 15, 30 minutes is more than enough usually.
Yeah, and if it's going to run longer, do it in an interview format. Don't do it as a solo.
Oh, totally. Right. Yeah, I can't agree more.
Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left, so touch on the use of photos and perhaps videos.
Right. So it's funny, you're asking me all the chapters that CC actually wrote, you know. CC is more, I mean, part of the reason why we work so well together in this book is that we each come at it from, you know, with different skills, right? So CC is longtime podcaster and is really into photo and video, where I'm more, you know, the writer, right? I'm more the one who's going to be doing the blogging and doing kind of text-based stuff. But you know, as we talk about in the book, you know, I mean, a content marketing program or a content marketing strategy incorporates all these things, you know. So the default is often, you know, when you think content, you think things I can read, right, or things I can flip through, like blogs or white papers or ebooks. But, you know, the reality is that the content is anything that you're publishing to, it's anything that you create or share that tells your story. So that includes things like photos and videos and audio, you know, podcasts. So I think it's important to, you know, think through various formats and kind of match them up with what you want to do. All that stuff is you know, an important part of thinking through any content that you're producing. You certainly wouldn't do a blog and not do a single photo on the whole blog. I mean, I would hope you would put some photos on there. So sometimes there's some crossover, too.
I like to use cartoons on occasion, too.
Right, yeah, so, sure, that works. Yeah,
something that's a little playful.
Right. Or the other day, I mean, I sort of talk about in the book how, you know, I say no matter what you're doing, you know, whether it's a webinar or a podcast or an ebook or a white paper or, you know, and I sort of threw out Puppet Show just for fun, right? And then about...
That's how Jon Stewart started.
Right, exactly. And then 6 weeks ago, I got something in my email box about this puppet show that a company called Agilent was producing targeting medical researchers. So I was like, cool, you know, puppet shows are part of that content strategy. That's awesome.
There you go. And thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
This was fun.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest has been Ann Handley, who is the Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs. You can find her at marketingprofs.com. She is also co-author of Content Rules. This is not my day job. Check out the Government Market Master Program at the School of Management at George Mason University. You can find information on my website, federaldirect.net. Click on